Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. Another strange, surreal week as we deal with coronavirus. And we've got some interesting perspective on the federal response from California Senator Kamala Harris, who could maybe be the next vice president of the United States, or at least the next pick for vice president. We talked about that. And we talked about some of the legislation that could be coming on coronavirus. She's really focused on trying to make changes when it comes to credit cards. So we dig into that with her. And frankly, one of the most one of my favorite conversations I've ever had on this show with Maria Shriver and Patrick Schwarzenegger. They're home together. They're doing this Instagram show about people that are doing good in the community. And it's a conversation about faith and family and purpose and doing good in the community and finding joy in all of this. And I found it to be not to sound too Oprah-like, but found it to be kind of nourishing for my soul. And I hope that you will as well. So here we go. A big name show. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Kamala Harris, Maria Shriver. We begin with Senator Harris. Kamala Harris is with us from home. Thank you for letting us in your home via Zoom. Welcome back to The Issue Is.
It's the home where I work. Home is California. I am in D.C. because I just felt the need to be here until we get a next package of relief done. So let's
talk about
I'm
that.
I'm where I work.
Let's talk about that next package of relief. We are looking at another stimulus bill in Congress. I know one thing you want is recurring payments for people. Right now, we got that one-time check for many folks. $1,200. You want this to be a recurring payment. How would that work?
Well, it will work in a way that actually meets the needs of American families and working people. A one-time payment of $1,200 is not going to deal with the fact that all of the 16 million people who lost their jobs and others have bills that they have to pay every month. And until we get through this crisis, we need to make sure that people don't completely fall down in terms of their ability to meet their monthly essential obligations, like feeding their children and paying the rent. And so I feel very strongly that we have a responsibility to help people who are doing what we have told them is in the best interest of public health, which is to stay at home. And so I'm one, arguing for recurrent payments. I'm also arguing that when I'm calling on the end and suspension, basically, of credit card interest payments, penalties, and fees, because during this moment of crisis, and so I'm saying that they should be suspended charging people interest, penalties, or fees for the next 120 days, because again, 16 million people out of a job just in the last few weeks. A lot of folks don't have savings and are going to end up having to pay for groceries on their credit cards. And no one should be profiting off of their desperation to be able to feed their children and get through the end of the month. And so I'm calling on that. I'm also calling on the credit reporting in terms of negative credit scores to be suspended for 120 days. Because again, a lot of people are just not going to pay their bills on time. They want to, they have a history of doing it, and they're not during this crisis because they are out of work. And once someone's credit score gets a negative rating, it can take a lifetime to repair. And we should not be doing that to people. We should be putting them in a position where when this pandemic is over, they can get back on their feet and have a life where they can be healthy and successful, both physically and financially.
Let's talk for a moment more about the credit card aspect of this. What are credit card companies saying to you?
Listen, I've heard a lot of support for what we're saying. Because listen, when you look at the credit rate, the interest rates that people are paying in the 20 percentile rate range, that it's already exorbitant. And again, the reality is for 120 days, we need to give working people and consumers an ability to get through this pandemic without completely falling apart financially. And so it's only right and it's only fair. And again, no one should be profiting off of the pain and the suffering that people are having right now. Businesses have had to shut down. 50% of Americans either run a small business or work in a small business. And that could be the local barbershop or beauty shop. It could be the local restaurant. Many are family operations, meaning either it's blood relatives who work there or it is just a family of folks. And they're out of work right now. And people have got to find a way. And we should be, as their government, giving people the support so that they don't completely fall through the cracks during this pandemic that, of course, was not of their making.
You know, it was remarkable to see a $2 trillion piece of legislation pass 96-0 in the Senate. We're talking about the last stimulus. In terms of the next stimulus, are we seeing those typical partisan lines being drawn? Are we seeing agreement? What's the status of it?
Well, it is my hope and my prayer that we're going to be able to approach this in a nonpartisan way. And it doesn't need to be said, but I'll say it. This pandemic, COVID-19, could care less about the party with which you're registered to vote. And we need to act. And so one of the things that we're arguing for and I'm arguing for is in the next bill, in a couple of the last bills, we made sure that testing would be free. Let's also make sure that treatment is going to be free. As we go forward, let's make sure we're giving more support to small businesses, because again, that last bill was born out of the urgency of the moment, but it was not sufficient to meet the needs of our small business owners and the people who work for small businesses. Let's deal with, again, the paid sick leave issue. 2/3 of low-income workers in America do not get paid sick leave or paid family leave. And that's just a defect in our system. So there are a number of things that we're going to be fighting for as we go forward, including what we need to do around getting PPEs, personal protective equipment, to our healthcare workers who are among the heroes of this moment. Let's not forget that they're going to work every day because they truly believe in their mission and in their calling to save lives. But unlike those health professionals that go to work during a war and deal with trauma, these healthcare professionals are going to work every day, not only being exposed to trauma, but being exposed to health risks for themselves and their families. And they're still going to work every day. So these are the kinds of things we have to fight for. And sadly, you know, frankly, there's been a vacuum of leadership coming out of the administration in this regard. It's been falling on mayors and governors. In California, we should applaud the work of Governor Newsom, mayors like Mayor Garcetti, in San Francisco, London Breed. I mean, I could go down the list. I speak with the mayors on a pretty constant basis. But there is still a lot of work to be done, and we are still not adequately as a country meeting the moment in terms of the crisis that is in full swing.
It was a remarkable moment this week when President Trump said that Governor Newsom has been a tremendous leader on this. What do you think that President Trump could learn from Governor Newsom and California's example?
He can learn a lot of things from both the governor, but also the mayors. I mean, Garcetti, Breed, they have had the courage to meet the moment in terms of the crisis, and their shoulders have been quite broad in terms of how they have carried the weight of this moment. And so let's talk about what exactly qualities of leadership look like in a moment of crisis. One, it's the ability to embrace fact and then speak truth, no matter how uncomfortable it may make people. It is the ability, in the case of a public health crisis, to embrace science and then act in the interest of the people as opposed to self-interest. And what we have seen in the true leaders in this moment is an ability to do all of that with the courage it takes, often with political consequence. It's not popular when mayors and governors start talking about shutting things down. But as we now know, nationally, people are looking at the leadership we've seen in California as a model for what should have been done or still can be done. And I have nothing but praise and pride for the work that our California elected leaders have been doing.
Well, let's speak some truth. The presidential campaign itself sort of ended this week, or one aspect of it. Bernie Sanders is out. Joe Biden is going to be the nominee. The Washington Post came out with a ranking of who's most likely to be VP. And number one was Senator Kamala D. Harris of California. So I'm wondering, has the vetting process begun, and have there been any conversations between you and the Biden campaign?
I have to be very honest with you. I am not focused on that. I am not focused on that at all. Listen, every single day in America right now, people are dying. The latest numbers, 455,000 Americans have contracted this virus. Over 16,000 people have died. Just in the last few weeks, 16 million people have lost their jobs. This is happening in real time. I want to be home right now in California. I am in Washington, D.C. right now, because this needs to be addressed, and leaders have got to lead in the post in which they occupy. And for me, that means working on what we need to do, calling on the suspension of credit card interest rates. It means calling for greater SNAP benefits. Why? Because SNAP benefits are supposed to feed hungry children, and we need to increase the benefits. It's about calling on the ICE and the Department of Homeland Security to say, release folks who don't pose a threat to the community, and pregnant women and the elderly and people who have health conditions, if they don't pose a threat to their community. This is the work that needs to happen in real time right now. This pandemic is not going to wait. And it is current. It is a moment of crisis, and we need to meet the crisis. And that's where I'm focused. I have to be honest with you. That is exactly where I am focused.
Although I know you did make a brief appearance on a fundraising call for Joe Biden this week. And I know, don't you believe that the next president and vice president, this is going to be one of the most important parts of what their job is going to be, leading the country. And the vision that the Democrats are putting forward and the Republicans are putting forward are very different in terms of the long-term response to this.
You're absolutely right. And I think we say this every cycle, but truly the moment of this crisis is I think highlighting that elections matter. Who hold these positions, who holds the position of being president of the United States, it matters. Yes, I am supporting Joe Biden for good reason. I believe in him. He has met crisis in his career head on. He has embraced science with his Moonshot Initiative, which was all about embracing science around curing illness and cancer. He was with President Obama when they turned our economy around after the Great Recession and during the Great Recession. And we also need leaders who see people and feel and understand the struggle and the pain. Joe Biden is a person who cares and has empathy in a way that really informs how he goes about the work he does. And we need a president of the United States who sees what's happening and understands that seeing the people is not about looking in the mirror. It's about understanding who the people are and then figuring out what their needs are and meeting their needs in real time. So I am very proud to support Joe Biden because, you know, we are going to need a president who, after this, God willing, this pandemic has passed, who can help us get back on our feet. Joe Biden has a track record of doing that, and I believe he will be the most effective in doing it at this moment.
Sounded like a persuasive pitch. I like to have fun on this show, too. Ask you one fun question. Last time we talked, you talked about how much you love cooking at home. Have you gotten more time to do that, or is there anything else that you've been doing during the quarantine? I know you've been working like 24/7, but is there any binge shows, anything that you've done in quarantine lifestyle?
Oh, quarantine lifestyle. I have assigned my husband Wednesdays and Saturdays to cook because I cannot cook every day. I love cooking. Saturday is chores in addition to all the work we're doing. And, you know, we've been binge watching a couple of shows. I mean, Tiger King. What a hot mess. And I've been hearing great things about Ozark. So at some point we'll get into that. And actually watched Forrest Gump the other night, last weekend. And it was so great. So, you know, and playing music. Oh, like turn off cable news and play some music and just find a way to, you know. And then I find myself picking up the phone and calling people more than texting if I can. I think it's so important to hear laughter, you know, instead of just reading LOL. And so those are the things. But I know we're all trying to make it work. And my advice to everyone and my plea is just be kind to yourself and be patient with yourself and each other. You know, we talk about social isolation, but let's make sure there's no emotional isolation. Let's reach out to our single friends. Reach out to, you know, our friends who are the elders in our community and those in our family. Because even though we're being told to isolate, and that's the smart thing to do to fight this public health crisis, nobody should feel alone.
Right.
So that's the most important thing I can say right now.
We're going to talk more about that with Maria Shriver and Patrick Schwarzenegger right after the break. And one thing that you and I agree on We both love to dance, and so we're going to play a little bit of music. I will say this, Senator. This is you with the drum line, with the K-Hive. You know, I'm not allowed to endorse candidates, but I will endorse that you are the best dancer of all the candidates that we've seen in the last year. We love the way you move. And so a reminder of simpler times and better times to get us through this. Senator Kamala Harris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now they're here to talk with us. Maria Shriver, Patrick Schwarzenegger, welcome to The Issue Is.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
All right, so I started watching, I follow both of you on Instagram, and I was sort of blown away by your conversation, so I invited you to be here. I'm glad that you're talking about it. Maria, can you talk for a moment about Patrick's decision to move in with you and sort of the inspiration for this show?
Well, Patrick very kindly said, why don't I come and live with you? You're by yourself, and it'll be good for us to be together, and I can make sure that everything's okay at the house. So I was deeply grateful for that and deeply grateful to be rooming with him. And it's been really a lot of fun. I know a lot of people said to me that they're struggling with their adult kids or kids who came home from college, and that's been kind of a little bit bumpy. I know a lot of parents are struggling having small children at home, and I totally understand that. But for us, it's been really a wonderful, or at least I should say, I'm speaking for myself. It's been a really wonderful experience, I gotta say. He stays on top of making sure that I eat because I sometimes forget to do that because I'm working away, and we walk, we watch TV, we play games, and we've done this incredible Instagram series together. So it's been, I'll be able to look back on this with great joy.
And Patrick, talk about some of the lessons that you have learned from some of these amazing people you've had this chance to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, just to go furthermore on what my mom had said, it's been a blast to kind of be back here living with her and spending time with her. And I think when this whole kind of quarantine and stay at home, you know, stuff has all happened, we kind of were both here and our work had shifted so much, like so many other, you know, Americans and people across the world. And we were kind of here and we were just thinking, you know, what can we do together that will, you know, bring some sort of optimism and positivity to the followers that we have? Like, how can we use our platform to inspire other people? And that's when we kind of just came up with the idea of doing Home Together, because that's essentially what we're doing. We're being home together. And we really wanted to use our platforms to highlight other people that were using this time to help people, to use their platforms to go out to raise money, to raise awareness, to, you know, use their own little, you know, niches towards their audience, whether that was Guy Fieri helping out employees of restaurants or Bethany Frankel, you know, using her business and entrepreneurial background to go and find masks at certain pricing and not price gouged. Or if that was Mel Robbins giving, you know, tips to people to have routines in their day. So, you know, Ed Milet, Marcus Lemonis, we've spoken to so many amazing individuals, and they've all had their own kind of tips and tools of how to navigate this, this storm and how to really weather it. And, you know, people have just really responded to it. I think that it's tough right now because when you turn on the news or when you talk to other people, so many people are just bringing out kind of negative news, per se, and you know, it's really tough out there, and we understand that, but we wanted to bring some sort of positivity and light at the end of the tunnel.
And I think what we wanted to do here was, as we said, talk to people who are helping, talk to people who want to use their voices to heal, and talk to people who are kind of trying to cultivate hope. So whether it's Jon Bon Jovi or the people Patrick was talking about, whether it's Glennon Doyle today talking about a book, but also talking about her nonprofit Together Rising. All of these people are trying to step into a space and help others. And that's what we wanted to use our platforms for, was to bring hope, to bring inspiration, but to also let people know that there are organizations out there to help them.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. We had Dr. Oz on the show last week, and he said the way that you can find happiness in this moment is to find purpose. And I know, Maria, you write now once a day about helping people find purpose in what's happening right now.
Yeah, well, I think all of the people that we've had on Home Together have found purpose. They're all stepping up and stepping out. And I was raised by two people who expected me to be of service. And so at the Sunday Paper, which is our weekly newsletter, we launched a once-a-day challenge so that people would think about, okay, how can I be of service? And whether it's calling somebody, texting somebody. Today, Patrick brought in egg bites made by him to me. That's an act of service. It's an act of love. And those things aren't small. I think sometimes people think, oh my God, these things are overwhelming. 10 million people filed for unemployment. How can I possibly help? You can help by calling somebody. You can help by dropping something at somebody's house. You can help by bringing someone in your home something you made. There are so many different ways, writing a handwritten note. I think it's kind of all of us, when this is over, want to be able to look back and tell our children and our grandchildren, this is what I learned in this moment. This is what this moment did for me, and this is what I did for others. And I think everybody that we've talked to has said singularly, you know, if you feel helpless, the best way to turn that feeling into something positive is to go out and be helpful.
How are the egg bites?
They were good. They were good.
We both are Starbucks fanatics, and we go there for the coffee and egg bites in the morning. And since we can't do that, I've been making her some egg bites here at home.
Yes, they get better each day.
I love that. And Patrick, you tweeted out something similar, which I retweeted because I thought it was so moving, which is this concept of so many people are home by themselves. They're not home together right now.
Yeah.
And taking a moment in your day every day to reach out to people that you may not have even talked to that much recently and say hello.
Right. So I kind of came up with that first when we were talking to some other people on our Instagram lives, and we were wondering how can people be helpful during this time. Obviously, number one is to stay at home, you know, isolate and social distance. And a lot of people didn't feel like they were in the financial position to give. And we were trying to find other ways to be helpful right now. And it just came across, you know, I'm going to right now reach out to all the small business owners that I knew. And reach out saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. Hey, is there anything I can do for you? Can I order food in from you? Can I, you know, put it on my social media? Can I anything? And it meant so much to these people that I thought, you know what, I'm going to start doing this to anybody that I know that's at home by themselves or doesn't have that significant other with them or living with friends or living with family. And I started to do that, and it went such a long way with people, and they were just so moved and impressed by it. And it just went so far. So I just kind of tweeted out a video and put out an Instagram saying, you know, if there's one thing that you guys want to do to help other people is just to send them a simple text messages. You could tweet at them, you could send them an email, call them. And it just was so impactful towards certain people that you were thinking of them and checking in on them. And I think that when this is all said and done, people will really remember who did those kinds of acts of kindness, who did check on them, who was thinking of them.
Totally. And Maria, I know you are so involved in the Alzheimer's community. In memory of your father, my grandmother passed away from Alzheimer's, and I do a lot of work in that community as well. And I know that community is especially hard hit with a lot of older people who can't be visited right now.
That's true.
Advice to people in that space?
Well, there's not only people who have Alzheimer's who are hard hit, whether they might be in a nursing home, a memory care facility, also their kids who are oftentimes their primary caregiver. There's a lot of home health workers. We haven't heard that much about them. We're focused, I think, and rightly so, on all the first responders and those in the hospitals. But there are millions of other people who are home health care workers who come to work every single day caring for somebody who might have Alzheimer's, other forms of dementia, Parkinson's, who might have a special needs child. These people do really kind of Herculean work day in, day out. And so the Women's Alzheimer's Movement that I founded several years ago is looking at ways to make sure these people are fed. Oftentimes they go to have arts and crafts, and they go to singing groups, and they have all these extracurricular activities to help them with their day. And people with Alzheimer's need routine. They respond to routine. And when they're not in a routine, it's very difficult for them. It's agitated and anxiety. And then those who care for them really get no break at all. So we're working very much so, the Women's Alzheimer's Movement, to service this population, to service the children of this population who are very stressed. It's a financial stress. It's a caregiving round the clock 24/7. And so this is something that we're also trying to bring attention to as well. I'm doing a big Facebook Live tomorrow with the governor that's open to people, AARP, Governor Newsom, and all the people working in this space.
A couple quick fun questions to wrap things up, too. Patrick, I'm jealous as a broadcast journalist because you get to now co-host with one of the great journalists of her generation. Yes. What have you learned about being a host from your mom?
I would say I've learned a little bit about preparation. you know, I'm used to just doing Instagram lives or talking with other people, just kind of going on the spot. But a lot of the people that we've been interviewing and talking with have been doing so much work, and to get educated about their missions and about their charitable giving and their organizations, and knowing some of the different facts and details has been, you know, enlightening and great for me to know. But it shows kind of some of the preparation that you have to do to be a journalist. Obviously, this is of the smallest scale, since it's just 20, 30 minute interviews. But when you guys are doing hour long, 2 hour long, multiple interviews in a day, I can only imagine the amount of research you guys have to do.
And Maria, the counter to that, what have you learned from Patrick?
Well, I've learned that Patrick's really good at this. Many people have said to me, wow, you know, in the beginning you were doing that, Patrick seemed like maybe a little bit uneasy. Now you can barely get a word in. He's the next Anderson Cooper. I think what I've discovered is that Patrick does get prepared. And I think that's whatever you're doing. I think it's really important, as I said to him, to be prepared. It's really important to learn about the people that you're interviewing. Give them that courtesy. Understand what they've done. Understand what they're doing. Understand their mission as well. And I think he's asked, today we did Glennon Doyle, and he asked a whole host of questions that I never would have asked, because he brings a different perspective. He's from a different generation. And some of these people he's coming to them fresh, whereas I may have kind of interviewed them before, and he has a completely different perspective. So it also tells me the importance of working across generations, mm-hmm. across decades, and how we can both learn from the other.
And what have you learned about each other as people? Because this is a lot of time to be cooped up in a house together. What's the most annoying thing about each other, and what's the best thing you've learned about each other?
I think that, you know, I don't know if I've learned that much, because we're really close, you know, as it is. We see each other multiple days a week. Our family's really close-knit. So this isn't, you know, yes, it's unusual to be living together again, you know, first time since high school or whatever. But, you know, we've always been really hanging out a lot together. So I don't think there's been some, you know, wow new thing that I've really learned, but it's been really fun to be able to kind of take it to working together, actual fun ways to work and stuff. And I don't know what I could say is annoying. The only thing that's annoying is when she forgets to eat and I have to remind her, I guess.
He's highly annoyed by that.
That's a good
sign. I want to say that, you know, what we're also doing besides these daily Instagram lives is on Saturday, I've started to do Small Business Saturday. One of the things that we've, in the comments and messages, is so many people have been struggling with small businesses, people that have dedicated their lives to the last 5, 10, 20 years to pursuing their passions as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, and you know, have had so many difficulties in this last month and a half. It went from being the best time ever in the economy to the next month, a total shutdown. So we've been doing Small Business Saturdays, interviewing top leaders in the business space, to giving kind of insights and tools of how to navigate this economic kind of storm, and how to really adapt and reinvent your business, and ways to kind of, you know, think outside the box as for certain business owners, which people have loved. And so I know you're interested in business as well. So
love that.
That's also what we're doing.
And you're calling it the rookie and the vet.
Rookie and the vet.
And one last question. So we see you guys on these Instagram lives. Maybe that's 1 hour of the day. But what's the other 23 hours of the day look like? Are we binging something? Are we reading something? What's the day in a life look like right now?
We've been a little bit of a mix. I just had shoulder surgery, unfortunately. So I've been rehabbing every morning or trying to, and she works out as well. You know, I think we're both big believers in having a morning routine, even if you're not at your normal, you know, work day and whatnot, because it creates kind of an idea of certainty and predictability in your day. The other thing we've been doing is, binge watching. We've blown through Breaking Bad, and, now we're doing Ozark.
Joe Exotic
was bonkers.
Had you not seen Breaking Bad?
I had never seen it. Oh, I've seen so many shows.
And I had neither.
Everyone recommended it, and I was like, you know what? I have so much time at night. I'm going to do the 6 seasons.
I'm confused because I have a crush now on Joe Exotic, Bryan Cranston, and Aaron Paul.
Oh, my God. Well, when you're done with this, you need therapy, Maria, because that says something about you.
That's true. But I'll tell you what we've been doing. I continue to work on the Women's Alzheimer's Movement, which you said every day we're meeting, we're pivoting, we're trying. The Sunday paper every week, we're getting that out to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, working for the governor to try to think of ways of service. So we're trying to be out there and use this time effectively and proactively and to be of service.
Well, you've been an inspiration for so many people for so long, Maria. And I think a testament to you is how incredible your kids are. All four of your kids are extraordinary successes, and it's great to get to know Patrick. I got to know Patrick at California Strong, this celebrity baseball game where he was the star of the entire day. We had the same, we both got like a single and were lucky to get on base and then ran as hard as we possibly could. So it was nice to see you there.
I think we got doubles. Don't sell ourselves short.
Doubles. Yes. We appreciate that. Keep up the good work. Thank you for the inspiration. We hope all of our viewers will watch your guys on Instagram and we'll see Patrick in this seat soon.
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much.
Patrick Schwarzenegger, Maria Shriver, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. You can follow me in social media at Alex Michelson. Let me know what you're thinking about, what your questions are. I'm also doing this Facebook live show every weeknight at 7 o'clock on the Fox 11 Los Angeles Facebook page and on TV with Dr. Drew, talking to a lot of the movers and shakers on this. And we solicit your feedback. We'd love to hear it there. So stay safe. Hope you're well. Hope your family's well. And we'll see you next time for more of The Issue Is.